T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
DG.com Studios on the corner of Broadway and Battery. This is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Welcome, welcome. It's great to be with you. Gorgeous Monday afternoon. It was a beautiful Sunday. Spent it at the ballpark. Beautiful day at the yard. And what do you know? The Bay Bridge Series opens up with the A's picking up 2 of the first 3 games at AT&T Park. And obviously, we've got All-Star Week upon us. And then we're going to get right back into the Bay Bridge Series. We have an awful lot to talk about. The Giants are definitely a bizarro baseball team. The A's, look, I talked to a lot of people in the press box about the A's, and they really are a head-scratching franchise. I mean, here you are, guys. You got a little bit of a contender to look at. What will you do in the second half to do anything about it? I mean, I know what I would do. I know what I would do if I were an owner. I'd tell my general manager, go get me an assassin. Go get me somebody I can stick in the middle of my lineup and hit 30 home runs, no doubt about it. Just go get me another starter. I'd be in go-get-it mode. Will the A's go into go-get-it mode? Mark Canha flipped his bat over the weekend. The question today is, will we ever recover? God almighty, baseball's got to stick up its own rear end at times. The fact that Mark Canha's got to explain away really wasn't even it was an obnoxious bat flip. It was one of those tagged it bat flips. Like, I got all that. I got a big heaping spoonful of that pitch. He put it halfway up the bleachers. And then what? Has to go on an apology tour in the clubhouse? Got to do the old sorry, not sorry, which I really don't like on social media. But Mark Canha, I'm glad you played the card. I really am.
People getting offended by bat flips is so silly. It's just like, I'm not sorry. I'm not really sorry. You know, it's part of our game. Everybody does it. If somebody's going to throw at me because of it, I got thrown at in the past this season for bat flipping. I clearly didn't learn my lesson. So, you know, if you're offended by that, I don't care.
Mark Canha. With the major league equivalent of come at me, bro.
Good for him.
Good for him. And you know what? He's probably right to be on point, because the Giants are more likely to probably throw at you after a bat flip than any other team in the National League. I got to be completely honest. They do not have a very good sense of humor about bat flips in San Francisco. Mark Canha, don't you go changing a thing. I like what you did. And oh, by the way, that home run was legit.
Swung on and hammered to deep left. Mark Canha knows. Out it goes into the night. Off the bench for Mark Canha. And the A's are in front 4-3 on a mammoth home run against Tony Watson.
That's our man Vincenzo with the call here on 95.7 The Game. It really wasn't even a bat flip to the point where it gets flipped like a baton or anything. It was just like a matter. It was like a mic drop.
Right. A little toss kind of.
Savage. Savage. Seriously, outside of pointing into your dugout and giving everyone the middle finger, like, I don't want to hear anything about bat flips anymore. If Mark Canha isn't pointing at Bruce Bochy with both birds, you know, like, it's not that offensive. God. We got an awful lot to get into, and guess what? It's the perfect week to have an awful lot to get into. We got full shows every day this week, right up until Friday, when we're going to get the Bay Bridge Series underway again. I've got some unbelievable ticket packages to give away to you, and I'll be doing that around 5:30 today. I've got Ahmed Farid joining us from CSN Bay Area today. We got Seth Everett, who's going to join us from the Home Run Derby.
Nice.
In D.C., he's in our nation's capital. My baseball buddy Seth Everett's going to join us today at 4:30. We're going to have a 5 before 5. We're going to have our friend Robert Latall, the managing editor and creator of Black Sports Online, and we got some things to talk about, including the Amber Rose stock report.
Got to get that in.
Stock down. Stock down. If you are going to sleep your way up the ladder, you can't go from Kanye to Kyrie to D-leaguer.
You can't go D-leaguer. The point is going up.
Right. You're not even sleeping your way to the middle anymore. You're sleeping your way to the D-league. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. We'll have the perfect person to join us today to talk about it. We've got a second wild card spot, which is officially good for the business of baseball. And we will talk about that today. We're going to talk about what jumps out so far at the break. You know, the A's are trying to find their way in. The Giants are basically trying to hang on, and both are noble causes. They really are. Like, I don't mean to bark up the wrong tree and tell anybody not to believe, not to get excited, because you know what was cool being at the yard this weekend? It actually felt like there was a little something on the Bay Bridge series. It wasn't just the trophy that they're going to be giving away for the first time ever. Like, no one cares about that. These are two teams that got a straight-up fork in the road, like, seemingly in front of them. As Yogi Berra once said, Gianna famously, when you get to the fork in the road, take it.
Take it, yeah.
That's what Yogi once said, and here we go. Who's going to take the fork in the road? You got the Giants who spent all this money, and they don't have a lot to show for it. Meanwhile, the A's have an awful lot to show for a team that won't spend money. And it's just too bad that they don't ever hold on to one of those difference-making pieces, because a difference-making piece right now would be pretty interesting. Now that we're at the break, it's time to do a little bit of an autopsy, and it feels like it really felt like when I was a kid, the Major League All-Star break happened in the middle of the Major League season. It isn't that way anymore. We're like two-thirds of the way through the baseball season. We got teams approaching 100 games right now, meaning that we are beyond the halfway point. So it's a really good time to take a little bit of an inventory. Like, what have we got around here? And to me, I'm not interested in inventory that looks at standings. I'm only interested in run differential. I'm a big believer in run differential. I know everybody's got their stat du jour that they want to lean on, that they think is the key that unlocks the mystery of a team or a baseball season. And I don't think run differential is much of a mystery here. How about this? It's the one new age stat I don't have to explain. I don't have to explain what run differential is to anybody who's listening in my audience right now. Like, if we were talking VORP, first of all, I got to tell you what VORP is. Let's not even get into it. Let's go run differential. To me, if you're not looking at a run differential of at least 50 runs by now to the positive, like, I'm not taking you too seriously, no matter what your record says, no matter where you are in the standings. For example, the Philadelphia Phillies, they lead the National League East, but they've got a run differential of plus 18. That's it. They're frauds. They're not going to the playoffs. And even if they do, who cares? They're not going anywhere once they're in there. You want to talk about run differentials that you need to pay attention to if you're a baseball fan? Red Sox, plus 163. Yankees, plus 131. Astros, plus 188. I don't know much, but I have a feeling, Gianna, one of those three teams will be our World Series champion this year. The Red Sox, Yankees, and Astros do baseball things like scoring runs and preventing runs being scored against them better than anybody else. And that's the name of the game. The Cubs are the best in the National League. They're at a plus 114. The Dodgers are second best at plus 82. My friends, that's about it. That's about it. Like, the Nationals, the Giants, the Diamondbacks, the Rockies, the Brewers, the Cardinals, like, none of those teams are about to win the World Series. The Giants are trying to hang on. They're trying to stick around, and it's a nice story, but here are the facts. They are minus 26. That's their run differential. They've given up 26 more runs than they've scored. In that fact alone, I can't take you seriously as a contender. I don't care where you are in relationship to your division lead, to your wild card berth, you're minus 26 in run differential. The Oakland A's, They've got a run differential of plus 24. Again, they're a great story. They are overachieving in spite of the constraints that they put on themselves. Like, not only do the Oakland A's have to go out and beat the Houston Astros in their own division, they basically have an obstacle that is their own ownership to overcome. And what a headache that's got to be. There might be a little something there, but just knowing what their business operandi is, their standard operating procedure, is something that if you're not paying attention to it right now, you haven't been paying attention in the last 15 years. Hey, Damon, Seattle, run differential, minus two. Yeah, watch the Mariners fall in the second half. They've ridden this heat wave about as far as it's going to take them into the summer. They're not legit. Run differential means something to me. If it means something to you, we got something to talk about. And I don't think it's going to be a World Series championship for either Bay Area teams. But we got interesting developments, and we got an awful lot to talk about with both of these franchises, who are legitimately interesting at the halfway point, even though we're past the halfway point, a little bit more than the halfway point. And we're going to get into it. 888-957-9570 is the number. Kawhi Leonard passed up that God money. It really doesn't make an awful lot of sense. We got some other weird things coming out of the NBA. Jimmy Butler turning down a $110 million offer over 4 years. Guess he doesn't want to be in Minnesota that much longer. Tyler Ulis and Devin Booker, gentlemen, we have risk-reward equations for you both to do before you go trying to beat up a whole bunch of guys in a Vegas elevator. So we got that coming up today. We got an a Summer League championship game tonight, Cavs, Lakers, to decide it all. Oh, no, wait, we got the semifinals tonight. Is that it?
Semis tonight. The semis final tonight. Is tomorrow.
The championship tomorrow. All right, okay. I can't wait to find out who the Summer League champion is. I'm sitting on the edge of my seat. I mean, and I got a lot of stuff for you today. We got a lot of show for you today. We're going to be talking about the Home Run Derby tonight. We're going to be talking about the latest cover of Africa by Weezer and how social media made that happen. And we're going to talk about the opening of Mount Davis. Yet another Mickey Mouse play and a what are you actually doing here, Oakland A's moment. But you know what? If it means more access at a better price for good fans, give it to me. It looks like Mount Davis is going to be open when we get the Bay Bridge Series back underway. Looks like that's going to happen, what, Saturday?
Saturday.
Yes, we'll give you all the details that you need. We're going to be talking with Giants pregame, postgame host Ahmed Farid of CSN Bay Area, NBC Sports Bay Area, whatever they're calling it this week. Right now, I've got a chance for you to win $1,000, and all the detail you need is next. We'll be back here on the Damon Bruce Show.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Mount Davis hasn't been untarped for a baseball game in 13 years, but apparently this Saturday, they're going to pull the tarps off and sell tickets for only $10. I guess they're going to try to set the A's attendance record. I'll wish them luck with that. They weren't able to set their own attendance record when they gave away the entire game for free. But they had a nice crowd that night, and hopefully they're going to have great crowds all weekend long. But what always makes me sort of roll my eyes when I hear stories like this is I know that they'll be right back down to, you know, 15,000, 17,000 fans come Tuesday when the Giants roll out of town. And it just drives me nuts. I see the A's as such a squandered natural baseball resource, and it's something that I talked about with an awful lot of people in the press box this weekend. You know, there's an awful lot of interest in this team. And what a crying shame the state of the Oakland A's remain. Like, how can you still be, after all these years, looking for a stadium and dirt cheap all at the same time? You got an owner that does as much to eliminate you from contention as the Houston Astros do. It's brutal to play It's brutal to play under those scenarios. And I'm just going to tell you that, as a resource of just being a Major League Baseball team, you got to do better than this. A resource that's just in the Bay Area. Like, how have you not figured out how to be successful here? You could throw a rock and hit a brilliant person with great ideas. Do they speak with no one? Is John Fisher just using this team to push money through an equation that benefits him? Yes. And it's very, very frustrating.
It's too bad.
It really is. Why did they build new offices in Jack London Square for $10 million? Like, why? 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 Wouldn't matter if you were running this thing out of a construction trailer. Fans wouldn't know. Fans wouldn't care. Wouldn't prevent you from signing not a single person. Why wouldn't you want to build your brand new offices in the stadium that you're about 20 years late building? I don't get it. I don't get it, and neither do you. You can make excuses if you want to, but you can't explain that to me. Why won't your offices be in the new park that you're about to build? Do you like commuting through the Bay Area? Is that it?
And I think it's cool to make the game more affordable for people and taking the tarps off and allowing, you know, more people to come. You know, $10 a ticket, you can take your whole family. It does, you know, keep in mind the seats aren't, you know, there's obstructed views and this and that. But you're going to a baseball game and that's cool. But it's like one little thing in the whole spectrum of what they should be doing. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, it's not going to make or break or change things.
It'd be wonderful if you guys came up with a long-term solution that lasted beyond the ninth inning of tonight's game.
Not just one Saturday, but every home baseball game.
You'd think. Or at least turn it into like every Saturday. It's crazy. And here's the thing. The last thing that ballpark needs is more people spread thin throughout it. Like, what I would do if I was getting 11,000 real human beings every night, I would put them all right behind home plate.
Yeah, put them all down front.
I would put them all right wherever the camera was gobbling up pictures. I would make my place look more crowded than it is. You don't need to tarp off outfield sections no one's sitting in the first place. What you should probably do is tarp off the sections that no one has sat in but for 5 minutes all year long down the lines. It'd be great if they cared about winning as much as they cared about winning through a business equation. And that's the ultimate frustrating thing about this team. And they do have a talented young team. Matt Olson's batting stance? That might be my favorite thing of the 2018 Major League season so far. He just hands it out like a club that he's about to beat a seal with. Not that beating baby seals is a good thing, but
no.
You know what I mean.
Yes,
he doesn't look like he's about to swing a club at a baseball. It's like he's about to go in a downward chopping motion with that thing. It's like he's chopping logs. Lionel Hutz is in Fremont, wants to talk about the Bay Bridge series. You feeling it?
Yeah, definitely feeling it. You know, just hear what you're talking about. Haven't been feeling A's ownership in, you know, about 2 decades now. But, yeah, definitely feeling the Bay Bridge series, obviously because I'm an A's fan. But, you know, the bat flip and all that, it just spices it up more. I mean, you can't be mad at that. I mean, if Cannon gets thrown at, then, hey, it is what it is. I mean, it's just, it's baseball. That's the way I see it. But, you know, going back to the A's ownership, I mean, you know, as an A's fan, they are their battle. You're keeping it 100 like a Benjamin. They are the biggest battle to every A's fan in their own team, and it's very frustrating because they just, you know, I don't know what their main goal is. They never come out, Fisher never talks, and it's pretty frustrating as a fan. Now, for the A's, in the All-Star break and before the trade deadline, I really just want them to stay pat, honestly. I mean, they can go get some, you know, something splashy, but I don't want them giving anything up. This team has some chemistry building. We've seen what happened in 2014, and yes, nothing was wrong with that. You go get an ace like Lester, but you trade away your heart. And right now, I just think the chemistry they're building, and for us fans, you know, who wrote through this thing like me, you just want to see them keep their players. I mean, if they really want to make a statement, they would ink Chris Davis by the end of this year, honestly. If they really wanted to show the fans that they cared and they're going a different direction, like they've kind of been whispering the last year, they would ink Crush Davis, a.k.a., to basically, you know, a 3 to 5 year deal.
If you're Chris Davis, though, if you're Chris Davis, do you really want to sign that, though?
It depends. I mean, it depends if basically he knows the whole plan, which A's ownership doesn't really say. We don't even know where the stadium's at. They've been looking for a stadium since I've been in high school. And, Damon, I'm in my mid-30s now. I mean, just think about that. That was before cell phones were even thought of having internet on it.
Absolutely, man. I mean, the stadiums have it's amazing. It's amazing how you can be lost in the woods on one issue for so long. No consensus, no matter what. You got an owner who makes just about everybody involved in Giants ownership look homeless. That's the money that Fisher has. He's got the rest of you owners, you multimillionaire owners, look poor compared to me money. A's fans, you're so deserving of something that you just do not get no matter what happens. No matter what. I got a really, really interesting about A's facts about A's ownership. These are facts. These are indisputable facts put together by our good friend Andy Dolich, who used to work for the A's. Since moving from Kansas City in 1967, the A's have been owned by four entities. Charlie O'Finley, 13 years from 68 to 80. From 81 to 85, it was the Walter Haas, Wally Haas, Roy Eisenhart combination, 15 years. Then it was the Steve Schott, Ken Hoffman era for 9 years from 96 through 2004. And then in 2005, Lou Wolfe and John Fisher became the owners, with Fisher buying Wolfe out November of 2016. But they have been the active ownership group for about 13 years now. And it's funny that there really isn't that much difference between who owned them and what their winning percentage was. Finley, 52%. Haas, 51.4%. Schott Hoffman, 54%. Fisher, 50.1%.
Wow, that's also close.
But where the difference is having the talent to really get it all done. Finley won three World Series titles in a row. Haas won a World Series title in 1989 with a legit team that probably could have won a couple in a row, but, you know, things happened. Schott and Hoffman, no World Series or league titles. They did win the West Division Series in 2000, 2001, 2002, and 2003. So at least there was some consistency in winning the division. Fisher, no World Series titles. He lost the American League Championship Series in 2006, which might as well be another light year now. Won the American League Division Series back in 2006. Lost the American League Division Series in 2012 and 13, and won, lost the wild card in 2014. And basically has been ducking and covering since 2014. It was, what, a trip through Cleveland and Houston the past couple weeks that made us really lean forward to see what they're doing for the first time in a long time. In 1990, the team set its all-time attendance record with 2.9 million fans. They averaged 35,800 fans per game.
Wow.
Where has that gone?
Yeah.
Like, how did you squander that? You had massive paying customers.
That's impressive.
A season low occurred in 1983 when they only drew 1.29 million fans, averaging 15,000 per game. There was one point during the Charlie O era where they literally had 250 people show up to watch a Major League Baseball game. The only All-Star game ever played in Oakland took place in 1987. It drew a sellout of 49,671. Meanwhile, the Giants have hosted three All-Star games in San Francisco, the last one being in 2007 at AT&T Park. Of course, the All-Star game is going to be tomorrow night, like the All-Star game out here in 2007. Unlike it, the Giants' hometown star, Barry Bonds, did not participate. We will have Bryce Harper tonight in the Home Run Derby. But it's just amazing to see the resources, the goodwill squandered. I mean, I got five friends that in a sequence of emails could probably get the deal done to have a stadium built by 5 o'clock on Wednesday.
Well, they should get it together and make it happen.
They need to sell me the team.
I mean, for sure. This is, and I don't know, A's fans are so frustrated because of it. That's rough.
It's brutal.
It is. It was such a hot team right now, too. It's fun. It's enjoyable. The team's great. It's too bad.
And you're telling me that you're going to go ahead and open up Mount Davis? Well, April 17th this year, the A's gave away free tickets to celebrate their 50th anniversary in Oakland. They hope to break their all-time attendance record. 46,028 showed up for a 10-2 win over the White Sox, still 2,000 shy of capacity. And the only reason why you're 2,000 shy of capacity is because of the lack of goodwill, the lack of credibility an ownership group has to have, especially when you compare it to, you know, another ownership group in the same damn parking lot. I mean, everyone shrinks when they stand next to Joe Lacob, but the A's are Lilliputian. by the way, our good friend Andy Dolich put this together. Look at some of the pictures he included. Look how young and sexy Andy Dolich is in that picture right there.
Wow. Look at that. Not bad, Andy.
Not bad at all. We're going to get into who's in and out of the Home Run Derby in just a little bit. But right now, he is your Giants pregame, postgame host. You can see him over on NBC Sports Bay Area. Ahmed Fareed joining us here on 95.7 The Game. What's going on, man? How are you?
Damon, how's it going? I'm enjoying an off day, a rare off day in the baseball season, driving my kids around. So if you hear some intermittent screaming, don't mind that.
That's okay.
That's just me because I'm around my kids all day.
Hey,
that's all that is.
It's the show. There's intermittent screaming every afternoon on this program. There really is. It's good to have you on. How have you enjoyed the first half so far? Because it really feels like for the first time, maybe in a couple of years, we've had a Bay Bridge series that felt like it carried a little weight to it. I really enjoyed those last three games.
The games have been good, and there is some extra little juice to them. You know, I think, you know, both fans, especially on the Giants side, kind of like to say, you know, tonight a rivalry, because it is true. I mean, L.A. is the big rival. The Dodgers are the rival. But, I mean, you're living next door to A's fans and right down the road from Giants fans. And then you have a whole bunch of A's that have, you know, local Bay Area connections, Brandon Crawford over on the Giants side. So, I feel like there is some extra juice to this one, and the games have been good, and so that helps too.
Who do you think should take the credit for the juice of this series? Either team's general manager, actual on-field manager, or Brody Brazil himself for coming up with the trophy?
I think Brody 100%. I mean, this was nothing until 3 days ago when that trophy was presented. So that has everything to do with it. As I'm sure the feedback you've gotten has been all positive with the trophy, and that's absolutely the number one reason.
You know, here's the deal. I know that people are throwing salt on it. I don't mind it. I don't mind it at all. It's a good little bragging rights thing. It probably means more on the East Bay than it does on this side of the Bay, but whatever. Like, I don't care, and I think it's cool that they got a little piece of the bridge.
I mean, that was the whole point of it, is that what can we do to add to it? You know, not that the rivalry or the series needed that, because no series needs a trophy. You know, honestly, the championship trophies are more representation of what you accomplished throughout the year. It's never about the trophy. It's about the accomplishment in doing it. But I thought it was really cool. A couple of days ago, I saw, you know, that trophy has been displayed at the Battle of the Bay Art Show, which I think has been really, really cool and a good success for both sides so far. So there's been some incredible artwork that's been displayed at AT&T Park. We'll go over to the Coliseum here soon. But you know, just seeing fans take pictures in front of it, you know, not because it's got tradition or anything. It's just a cool thing to look at, a cool thing to touch, pick up, feel, and it'll just grow in time with its tradition. So, yeah, I mean, we never presented it as like, oh, this is the end-all, be-all. It was just a fun little added element to a super cool series already.
I'm Ed Fareed here on the Damon Bruce Show. Good to have him on. How about Bruce Bochy and where he sits in his career right now? There have been 11 men that have managed 1,905 wins in the major leagues or more. All 11 are in the Hall of Fame. Bruce Bochy is 2 wins shy of that number. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like every offseason when I'm talking about the season to come and talking the positives of a team, I think I mentioned Bruce Bochy, and I always address him as future Hall of Fame manager Bruce Bochy, because I think the 3 World Series titles, getting there with the Padres previously, I think he's already there. And to be able to do it this long, and as we talk about all the time, right, the changing player, the changing dynamics within sports, you know, Bruce Bochy has been there through it all and is still well-liked by his players, by the media, by the front office, good relationships with everything. I think it's the same is true for Bob Melvin as well. I think we've got 2 great managers in the area. But I think that's the biggest accomplishment, right? The stuff that Bruce Bochy does has not gotten old, because deep down he's a people person and he can manage people. And when you get down to it, you know, the analytics are a part of it. Everything's a part of it. What you do on the field, the game manager, but it's about dealing with people. And I think both those guys do it really, really well.
They don't have clubhouses that tune them out. And when you think about it, we're pretty spoiled here in the Bay Area in terms of coaches that know how to deliver a message that's lasting and people keep on tuning in for, because the success is proven. Between Kerr, Bochy, Bob Melvin, you know, look at John Gruden now with the Raiders. A lot of people are turning to him to turn things around. I think the Kyle Shanahan had a pretty good debut at the end of the first half of his go around. Like, we got some pretty good coaching here in the Bay Area.
Yeah, and it's the stability of it too, right? I mean, the 49ers didn't have that stability, so you see how hard it is to gain that, right? How do you have a head coach who has something behind them, so, you know, some standing with the team if you think he's on thin ice all the time? And the Giants have that, the A's have had that. It feels like the 49ers have it right now. It feels like the Raiders have it, and for sure the Warriors have it as well. So, yeah, I think that's a big part of it. And it's why you always hear, you know, you got to stick with the team and hope you pick the right guy to stick with them for 5 or 6 years, because if you got to keep switching, the team's going to tune him out because they don't know if he's going to be here in a year or two.
I'm Ed Farid here on 95.7 The Game. What do you think is the bigger surprise of the Giants season so far? That Gorkys Hernandez turned into like an everyday major leaguer after such a terrible year last year, or the fact that Pablo Sandoval has played his way back into the good graces and the lineup?
Yeah, I think they're both a surprise. I think, you know, the fact that Gorkys was hurt last year at the end of the year, maybe you thought, okay, so he wasn't 100%. I would have never thought that he would have double-digit home runs by the All-Star break. This would never have crossed my mind. I think Pablo is kind of the same situation, where he had injury problems in Boston, never quite was a fit. And so you felt like, well, maybe, you know, I think we were saying it last year, maybe you get him back to the West Coast, back to the Giants. He's comfortable. He's back healthy. The shoulder is fine. You know, maybe you can get him, not to what Pablo was before, but a solid bench piece you're paying the league minimum to. So I think, you know, Pablo is a little bit of a surprise. I think Gorkys is the bigger surprise. And I'm just happy for him, because here's a guy that came into the season knowing what kind of his role was and being okay with that. Fifth outfielder, best defensive outfielder they had. Kind of the guy that was on the roster until Steven Duggar was good enough to come up and play in center field. And then all of a sudden he comes up and plays lights out and takes the job, and then he's playing every day. So I think Bruce Bochy really liked having him on the roster at first, just because he didn't care if he was a defensive replacement, and that's all he was for the first month of the season, because he did it and he grinded, and now he's one of the better hitters in the lineup. So that's a little bit bigger surprise to me than Pablo.
Mark Canna's bat flip, will you ever be the same?
It changed me. It changed me. It soured me on Mark. You know, Mark is like such a great and genuine guy. Like, I've only met him a couple times, but the two times I've met him, he's just an honest guy, and you can tell with the interview that he did after the game. I mean, I think I'm part of a growing trend of baseball fans, and I don't think it's necessarily younger fans. I think it's a growing trend all across the age spectrum that says, you know, there's a lot of crap going on in the world. Let's have some fun in sports. You know, don't take the fun out of sports. You know, we want to add fun into sports. So I was okay with it. I'm basically okay with any type of authentic emotion on a baseball field. I've even gone on record saying, if you want to taunt, go ahead and taunt. Maybe it's okay in sports, not okay in real life. Don't do it in real life. But sports is different. Sports is supposed to be fun, competitive. You're going against me, against you. I liked it. So, I mean, I'm never going to get my feathers ruffled over Mark Canna. The only thing I will get my feathers ruffled over is not showing enough emotion out there, because I think it is a fun game, and let's celebrate it.
Amen. And look, I don't want to get you in trouble with the mothership. I know you're talking about the Giants before and after an awful lot of games. Don't you think the Giants are among the worst at baseball at taking things a little too seriously? They do it over and over and over again. I totally expect Canada to catch a code red at some point in time in the next three games.
I mean, maybe, you know, they took a little heat for what happened with Lewis Brinson when the Miami Marlins were in.
Yeah, as they should.
There. So maybe that woke up a few people and got them thinking, like, what's important here? Because what happened in that series is, you know, the Giants kept it going, maybe one too many when they hit Brinson, when Derek Rodriguez hit him. And what that, you know, resulted in was Buster Posey taking one that was a little up and in. And Dan Straley got thrown out right after that. But your all-star franchise player catcher took one on the body. And it was in direct retaliation to what they did previously in the game. So the back and forth is not necessary. For a team that's already had their fair share of DLs, I think that was a little bit of a wake-up call. They'll never completely change. And you know what? They play. I respect that. There are people that I do shows with that have a different opinion from me. And that's what, you know, makes baseball ultimately, is that, you know, my way is not the right way. Your way is not the right way. We have differing opinions and different ways of handling it. And that makes up the spice of our game.
I'm Ed Farid here on 95.7 The Game. So, a lot of people have said this Bay Bridge series is like a fork in the road moment. You'll know whether or not you're a contender or pretender at the end of it. And I don't know if it's going to give us that much conclusion, but let me ask you straight up. You got to go and bet next week's paycheck on a playoff appearance on either the Giants or the A's. Where are you putting your money?
Well, that's hard because, from what we've seen so far, I'm still wondering about, as we all are, about the A's starting pitching. I think they'll score enough. They put the ball in play and hit the ball over the fence. I mean, that's the formula for winning a whole lot of ball games. It's just a matter of some of those young starters. And is Edwin Jackson going to be able to hold on? And Brett Anderson, will he be a part of the rotation and give them some depth at the inning? So, the A's, I feel like, have some questions, but I do like their young talent overall, perhaps a little bit better than the Giants. Giants play in the easier division, so that gives them a little bit of a leg up. Boy, that's tough because I think if their divisions were different, if the A's were in the West, I think it'd be slam dunk A's. But you got the Mariners and the Houston Astros in your same division, that you might be the third best team in the league and the third best team in your division. So if I had to put $1,000 on one of these teams making the playoffs, I'll go Giants just because I do Giants pregame, postgame, and I don't want to get in trouble.
There you go. Fair enough. We'll get you in trouble in another way. Which guy will eventually be worth the weight of their contract? McCutchen, Longoria, or Melanson?
Well, I mean, the fact that McCutchen's is only, a year and $14 million, and we're halfway through that, I think he can have a blistering, July. A blistering August, because June was great for him. June, it was like, wow, this is the Andrew McCutchen we've seen all those years at Pittsburgh hitting for power. I think he had 6 home runs in the month alone. Here's the thing. He's been hitting the ball hard all year long. You look at the exit velos and the hard contact, and Andrew McCutchen's name's in the top 20 in Major League Baseball. They just necessarily haven't been falling in for hits. I think the shift has hurt him. He's gotten a little pull happy in 2018. So I think just in the fact that he's got the shortest contract of them all, I think he has the better chance because a hot month or two, and boom, he's the guy he's been, and you're okay with that contract. Longoria is a little concerning for sure because last year was his worst offensive year. Even though he was still league average, his worst offensive year, and players aren't aging like they used to. 32, 33, 34 seems almost like the end for a lot of guys. And Mark Melanson, the fact that they're continuing to be very cautious with him, I think is smart, but it's also concerning. And the fact that there's obviously some concern long term for him and if he'll ever be the guy that can go back-to-back-to-back days. I think the fact that both those guys have longer-term deals, that's more concerning. I think McCutchen could pay for himself with a couple hot months.
Good to talk a little baseball with you, man. It's been on too long. Enjoy your, I don't know if it's a week off for you, but enjoy a slower week of your summer. I hope you do.
Yeah, I'll only have to check Twitter like once every hour or two as opposed to once every 20 minutes. So that's always nice.
Enjoy the break. Thank you very much. I'm Ed Fareed here on 95.7 The Game, your Giants pre- and post-game host over on NBC Sports Bay Area. Good stuff with him. We do have a Major League Home Run Derby tonight. We'll let you know who's going. We'll let you know when it starts. We're actually going to check in with my buddy Seth Everett around 4:30, and this bad boy is going to get underway around 5 o'clock our time? Is that what time we're going to see this thing go off? We're going to do this once again without back. And you know what? He will be missed at one point in time. You're going to miss him just a little bit. Admit it. We're going to have all that for you, and we're also going to celebrate the croissant, the baguette. Ah, we have a World Cup champion.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome, welcome. It's great to have you here on 95.7 The Game. We're about 45 minutes away from saying hello to Seth Everett. He's going to join us live from D.C., where the All-Star Games Home Run Derby is going to take place tonight. Who's in the Home Run Derby, you ask? Well, we got 8 guys. Would you like a little snapshot? Here you go. Here are the 8 guys in the Home Run Derby tonight. From the Milwaukee Brewers, Jesus Aguilar. He leads the National League with 24 home runs. He's got a home run rate of 7.6% that leads the major league, so we'll see him. Very exciting player from the Cubs, Javier Baez, is going to be in. He is tied for 7th in the National League with 19 home runs, ranks 4th with a 5.71 slugging percentage. He's an electric player who loves to step up in a big moment. He loves the he loves attention. Loves it.
It's perfect for him.
It is. By the way, ESPN, a pretty good breakdown of all these players. Here's a little fact about Javi Baez. He's the 14th second baseman to ever participate in the home run derby. 11 of the previous 13 were eliminated in the first round. But the other two guys, they won it. Robinson Cano in 2011. And my boy, Ryne Sandberg, Hall of Famer, 1990. Alex Bregman of the Astros is in there. He's become one of the best all-around hitters in the game. He's in the top 20 with 20 home runs. He ranks 4th in extra base hits. He's a dead pull hitter. You got to like a pull hitter in a home run derby. It's a consistent swing to get off. 16 of his 20 home runs have gone to left field. Got Freddie Freeman of the Braves. Could be an NL MVP front runner. 16 home runs. Ranks 4th in NL OPS. I don't like him to do it, though. He's a line drive guy. You're looking for guys with fly ball rates. You want a lot of fly balls here in the home run derby. Line drive guys don't do so well. Bryce Harper, the hometown hero. He's tied for the 2nd in the National League with 23 home runs. He's got the largest average home run distance in the field, 415.6 feet. He does have the longest home run of the season, 473 feet. This guy, when he hits him, he really hits him. He actually lost to Yoenis Céspedes in the 2013 finals. Remember that? I believe that. Was that a Citi Field? Was that in New York? Is that where that was? I don't even care. You don't even need to look that up.
Step away from the Google.
Rhys Hoskins is going. Up-and-comer power hitter. 11 home runs in his first 18 games. Sure, whatever. Max Muncy of the Dodgers. Guy spent all last year in AAA, basically. Started this year there. He's got 22 home runs to rank 4th in the National League. The guy is having a breakout year. Maybe he'll break out again once at the All-Star break. You want to talk about peeing a cup? Max Muncy, please pee in a cup. Do you realize he hit 20 home runs over his last two seasons in AAA? That is 20 home runs and 543 AAA at-bats. He's got 22 home runs and 225 major league at-bats. Suspicious! Just throwing that out there. Suspicious! And then I got my guy, the guy I'm going to be pulling for. No, not Javi Baez. I like Javi Baez. He's a Cub.
Mm-hmm.
But he was never an Indiana Hoosier, and Kyle Schwarber was.
Don't you want Kyle Schwarber? Kyle Schwarber. Oh.
That was before that became the home of Ben Zobrist. You all know how that turned out, I think.
Don't you want
Ben Zobrist? That must have been coming off a win because I had an awful lot more confidence. I was a little suspicious about Schwarber. Play that again for me, Elena.
Don't you want Kyle Schwarber? Kyle Schwarber. Oh.
Don't you want
Ben Zobrist? Oh, Ben Zobrist. Oh.
Yeah, definitely the Ben Zobrist. You had a little bit more of like your belt voice coming out. You know what I mean? That stronger sound. You know,
I think
that's
we had
a little bit weak.
I think we had CS or DS and CS. That was the difference there. Division Series, Championship Series, more at stake with every verse. Did I tell you that I was actually in the Human League?
Is that so?
Yeah, I was a backup synthesizer player in the Human League in 1981. That's why I know these songs inside and out.
How did you keep that a secret?
Ben Zobrist! Oh, Ben Zobrist! Oh! Schwarber has the max exit velocity, whatever the hell that means now, 117.1 miles per hour. That is the highest rate of all the guys. He's got sick raw power. We'll see what he does. If Schwarber had the right meal, he could win this thing. If he ate too many burritos, maybe not.
to lay off the burritos. I think with Rhys Hoskins, though, from the Phillies, 14 home runs. Oh, seems kind of low for someone to be in a derby, in the home run derby. Everyone's got 18 plus.
Yeah, no, there's the guys who you really want to see in the derby.
Like Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton. I know they declined, but eh.
And it sucks that they declined. Like, why did they decline? This whole, like, well, you know, a night of swinging could ruin your swing. And it's like, get out of here. I don't believe it. I just, baseball, you need more star power. Tonight's a night where you show off your star power. Do it.
Yeah.
Do it. Do it. How about just going up to these guys and saying, what's it going to cost? You don't make enough money? When Bonds didn't participate in the home run derby in San Francisco, you know, and I thought, I honestly thought that night, I bet you this tacks on another 10 years to the will he ever get a statue conversation. Like, what a bigger way to spit in the eye of Peter McGowan and Larry Bear.
Yeah.
Than to have the whole, like, here we are. It's going to be the splashiest all-star game home run derby ever. Not a single ball. Not a single ball went into the cove. Not a single ball.
Wow.
The damn All-Star Games logo was a ball splashing into the water that year.
That just didn't happen.
Barry, come on. Hey, Damon, you were on the codeine back then. Back when I was singing.
Maybe he was.
You're probably right. I'm not going to lie. You were probably right. That was at least an 800-milligram performance.
We love those shows.
Benzo Brisk. From one beloved song to another here on 95.7 The Game. Let's go.
Bam, bam, mon ça se passe, j'ai sur mon lit à bouffer, ça n'en en buvant, prends mon whisky, quant à moi, peu dormi, vie débris, mais j'ai dû dormir dans la gouttière où j'ai eu un flash.
Hernández que pasa por aquí o por allá, va Hernández, buena pelota para Mbappé, la quiere Griezmann, Mbappé, ¡al arco!
Our Croatian friends did not win the World Cup.
No.
You get a baguette, and you get a croissant, and you get a cruller, and you get a duck l'orange, a palm frites, steak frites, escargots for everybody. Did you wake up on time to watch?
I did. I watched the whole game.
Did you really?
Of course I did.
I made plans. I thought to myself, I will rise Sunday morning to watch this.
It's a little early for you. You didn't wake up at all? Catch any of it?
Like, I woke up with maybe 15 minutes left in the game, and I grabbed my phone like everybody else does when they wake up, and I check Twitter, and it was 4-2, and boy, it was nice and warm in my bed. I wasn't moving.
You're like, I'm good.
I was like, this feels like a French victory if there ever was one. 4-2, it's insurmountable, right? So, congratulations.
Vive la France.
Would you already like your odds to the next World Cup?
Yes.
I got them for you.
Four years from now.
Who does a better job covering the World Cup all of a sudden than the Damon Brew Show? Seriously, who would have ever thought? Who would have bet on that, right? Do you like a lone Croatia loser goal? I'll give it to you just to have thorough coverage.
Euro hace dos años. Opa, Mancio, gol! Gol! Mandzukic, tras el despiste del arquero, uno de los más seguros, guante de oro, seguro iba a ser, o lo será. Y miren la macana que se acaba de mandar para poner el partido 2-4.
Unfortunately, though, that only made it 4-2. So the Slovakian men's chorus is silence now.
It's a sad day for Croatia.
All silence now. We're very sorry. Did you see, though, they're still, like, burning flares in Croatia. They've got a bonfire in every intersection. Like a happy bonfire. Not an angry bonfire.
Proud of their team.
Happy bonfires. Meanwhile, the Champs-Élysées, they're going to have to clear about 1 million people off that for the Tour de France, which will be rolling in what, another 2 weeks or whatever that get back to Paris? We are now through 9 stages, I believe, of the Tour de France, and we will have a Tour de France update a little bit later for you because, again, who's got more international flavor than this program? Seriously. We're going to have so much international flavor, we're eventually going to get to the continent of Africa today.
Wow.
Thanks to our good friends Weezer.
We're going global.
It's a global program this afternoon.
So
indeed it is.
Who's favorite for the next World Cup? I'm curious.
I'm glad you asked. Are you ready?
Yes.
Here is Meet the New Boss, Same as the Old Boss. The French are listed 5-1 favorites to win the next FIFA World Cup in 2022, followed by Brazil, oi, tutubang, 7-1. Spain, España, 5-2. Germany, 8-1. Belgium, 11-1. Argentina is going off at 12-1.
Argentina!
Italy, 18-1. England, 20-1. Netherlands, 20-1. Portugal, 28-1. Uruguay, 40-1. And what do you know? Look who's at 80-1. The red, white, and blue.
Really?
I seriously hope they don't make it again next World Cup.
Well, we got 4 years.
There is no doubt that I enjoyed this World Cup more than any other World Cup I've ever watched. And the fact that the United States wasn't in a country mile of it probably added to the excitement. Because I did not have to go watch these bums lose a whole bunch of pansy Europeans.
I will say this. I felt very... I never really paid that much attention to it, just a little bit, but I was very entertained by this World Cup.
It was
no
fun.
Doubt. There was a lot of moments.
It was fun. So, as far as I'm concerned, if you didn't watch the whole thing on Telemundo, you didn't watch any of it.
I did flip back and forth. I did my homework, Damon.
The segment that we did last week about how the coverage is vastly superior. Did you get that feeling as you compare and contrasted the two things?
I stayed on Telemundo. I was like, after the first couple times, like, okay, this is pointless going back to Fox's coverage. I'm staying on Telemundo because, yeah, they did a better job. More exciting.
Yeah, I can't even imagine how much better the coverage is on Telemundo if you have any idea what they're saying.
Yeah, there were some points where I was like, oh, and, you know, getting into it, my husband's like, what's happening?
Yeah.
I understood bits and pieces. So
I understand goal.
Goal, good.
I understand pelota.
Oh, yeah, there you go, ball.
That's about it.
That's good. It's a good start, Damon. Good start.
It's about it.
So the next World Cup, 2022 in Qatar.
In Qatar.
That's where it's going
to
be held.
It sounds like a great place to have a World Cup in the middle of the desert. Have fun with that, everyone. By the way, it's officially time for our Sultry station identification.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.